Have you got your drink?
Yes.
I got an amaretto and Pepsi Max.
I've got a... I love how you did that in an accent. I have a rhubarb and ginger gin.
I feel like that sums us up.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Anna.
And I'm Bethany, and we're trying to review every Jane Austen adaptation ever.
Welcome to Austen Translation, the only Jane Austen podcast that covers the character's star signs.
That we know of. We're two best friends who've known each other since school. I've persuaded Anna to join me on this Jane Austen journey.
I'm less of an Austen expert, but I am no less ready to share my hot takes on these adaptations.
This is going to be a special episode where we're not going to be reviewing an adaptation. We're going to just kind of...
In case you're wondering.
We're going to be reflecting on all we've learned.
Looking back at the journey so far.
And how we've grown as people.
We've come so far and fought so hard. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make this into a Jane Austen theme thing.
I thought it was going to be the beginning of a High School Musical song, and then I was like, nope.
I was also thinking that. I was like, there's so many songs that have, like, we've come so far, but I'm not sure which one I'm going with, and then I was like, Linkin Park, that's where I'm going. I'm already singing, I've only had one sip of gin, sorry, just thinking about Jane Austen and Linkin Park. You know those, like, movie music video things?
Yeah.
MMVs, yeah. As they used to be called.
Yeah.
Jane Austen, MMV, Linkin Park.
Which one?
It would have to be P&P, I think, because Darcy and his angst. And he'd be like,
Yeah.
Like, it would just be him brooding.
As a teenager, I loved those. Like, if I'd got into a show, I would then look up.
They're still there. They're still out there. Yeah. MMVs.
When they used to get, like, all the couple moments and, like, cut them together to songs and stuff.
Yeah, they're still going strong. That is an art form that is not going to be lost.
Back to Austen-themed things. So the first thing I wrote down is, because we kind of started discussing this off podcast, and then we literally stopped halfway through and was like, save it for the podcast, like we're professionals.
Save that content. Save it. Keep it in. Bottle it up.
Oh, if you were going to order the Jane Austen novel, this is novels, so we're basically...
Oh, the novels and novels and novels and novels.
Yeah.
Well, bear in mind, I haven't read all of them.
We'll base it on kind of story then, I suppose, but I'm talking about the core six, so we're not going to include Lady Susan or Sanditon. Because we haven't addressed those. So the core six.
Yeah.
The core six. So shockingly for me, considering I didn't really know it before we started this podcast, Persuasion is quite high for me.
Yeah, it's quite high for me.
Yeah.
Because are we talking about, like, what our personal favourites are?
Our favourites. Because I want to kind of be like, when, like, so if you wanted to see more adaptations of it, or if you had one that you would revisit. Do you know what I mean? Like, one,
yeah,
like,
okay. Yeah.
Personal taste where you're just like, you really like the story. And it's hard for me because obviously Pride and Prejudice was the fav for so long, but it's so basic to have Pride and Prejudice as your favourite.
I honestly, I'll go into it when I say mine, but...
Oh, have you already got
I just don't get it.
Leveled out?
Well, I mean, like, just in my mind, I've immediately sort of got... I know where Pride and Prejudice is going to be.
Okay, I'm going to just put it out there. I'm not that keen on...
All of them?
Yeah. Yeah. The Sensibility and Mansfield Park are my worst. Putting it out there.
Yeah,
I know everyone thinks, like, Sense and Sensibility is, like, the second or third most adapted book, so, like, it's really popular. I think it beats Emma for adaptations, but
yeah, and I just don't know.
I don't care about...
I think it's just because it's one of those something and something else. Like, people got so into Pride and Prejudice and they were like, you know what else is also a book with two words that have the same first letter?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe Emma Thompson I think Emma Thompson, when she did her adaptation, because I think she produced or directed that, that was like a passion project of hers because she just really liked the book. And I think that kind of gave it some credit. Do you know what I mean?
And also because the actors were so great.
Yeah. So it's kind of almost that adaptation itself has launched it into mainstream.
Relevancy.
Yeah, I don't like... I think Edward Ferrars and Colonel Brandon, like... I wouldn't want to be...
They're not dreamy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's the same with Mansfield Park. We can't fancy the love interests.
Based on that, though, actually, Mansfield Park is at the bottom because Edmund Bertram I genuinely hate. Like, I dislike Edmund. I don't like him. In case that was not clear. I don't think I dislike Colonel Brandon and Edward Ferrars as much as I dislike Edmund.
Yeah. I'm listening to the audiobook right now and I hate him a lot. I do actually really just think he's such a little piss baby.
Yes, and that's the thing. I just think it's an odd choice for a leading man because also that whole love story is so dull.
It's so fucked. Like, honestly, like, and also Fanny Price is so... She's not the character that you, like, admire or really care... Like, you're just kind of... It's kind of just pity that you feel.
On the flip side, I think Mary and Henry Crawford are some of the best characters that she's written.
Yeah, man, I love... In the book, Mary Crawford is, like, such a great character. She's so witty. She's like Lizzie Bennet levels of witty and kind of like she's like, but then the thing is she's not good. And I think that adds to her interest as a character because she's not this like respectable. I mean, she's respectable in some ways, but in other ways, she's really not.
Yeah, that's the thing. The whole, it just seems like a strange, because like, yeah, Fanny Price is boring and bland. So is Edmund. And it's not like all the other stories. There is some passion in the romance.
Yeah, it's not just like a slow, there's just nothing.
It just feels like they're settling. That's what it feels like. It feels like they're like...
I mean, like, Fanny is like, she does yearn for him, but not in a way where it's like passionate. It's more pathetic to me. She's just like sadly looking. And like, I think there was kind of that with Anne Elliot in Persuasion, but actually I think that it was kind of tempered by the fact that Wentworth is really quite passionate. And he balances out Anne's kind of quite passive energy.
Yeah, but also, I'm listening to Persuasion at the moment, actually. It's funny that we're both on different books.
Finished it.
I love how I started it before you. And then
I know, I just absolutely plough through them like nobody's business.
You kind of get the impression that there is that side to Anne. She's just pushed it down.
Yeah, like there was that kind of passionate young woman before everything happened, and she's sort of become really
resigned to her fate
almost. Yeah, and then it's almost like reawakening this, but Fanny Price has never had that. She's literally just waits for Edmund to tell her what to like or what to do.
So Mansfield Park is at the bottom for me, and then it's Sense and Sensibility, because I find Eleanor Dashwood a bit boring. I find Colonel Brandon and Edward Ferrars a bit boring. Marianne's quite a fun character.
Yeah, she is. But, like, I feel like it's a bit... Her actual, like, character development, it's a bit, like, kind of foreshortened in a way. It's almost like she's really selfish. And then suddenly she, like, has a sort of awakening and suddenly she's really mature.
Yeah. That's the thing. She reminds me too much, and like, it is because she's a teenager or whatever, but I think it's that like angsty teenager thing, and I'm like, which is...
But it's just weird how she ends up with Colonel Brandon, mainly because everyone's been rooting for it the whole time. He really likes her. There isn't ever a sense that like she is actually into Colonel Brandon.
Yeah,
it's like you don't even see that develop. It's just like, oh, and then considering that everyone was so rooting for Colonel Brandon, it happened. Obviously, it happened, and it's like, Yeah, well, but the thing is, Marianne is such a, like, passionate, romantic character. For her to then just be, like, basically do something because her family really wanted her to.
I think the overarching theme is if it lacks the passion, I'm just like...
They don't have chemistry.
Yeah, even, like, in the book.
No, because they're so different because he's so old. He's, like, 35, so old.
In Pride and Prejudice as well, like, I remember reading Pride and Prejudice, and there's a bit where you kind of see it from Darcy's point of view, and he's basically like, need to keep an eye on that because he's starting to like the way Lizzie Bennet looks, and I'm like, that's the sexual tension building, that's the, like, you can feel the chemistry, where with Sense of Sensibility and Mansfield Park you can't. My next one, I'm working from the bottom up. What a weird way to do it.
From the bottom, now we...
I think it's going to have to be Northanger Abbey. I know. I know. I do like it, but I think it's mainly that one adaptation. That was fun.
How rude to Henry Tilney. How...
I knew it was going to be higher for you because you love Henry Tilney. But I like it. I like the gothic nature of it. But in terms of... It's just not as good as the others, unfortunately, for me. And then we're getting into the top
three. Grace, disagree.
I think we're going to disagree on this as well, because Emma is third.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Fucking idiot.
Oh, I'm still not sure about this. I'm committing to
absolute my... doofus.
I'm committing to
you done
now. That's it. I'm committing to my order. So Emma said, I love Emma so much. They have the chemistry. I really like Mr. Knightley as a character and their whole romance. But then I also dislike Emma for, like, a large proportion of the story. So fortunately, that knocks her down to third place. And then Persuasion comes in number two, which you would think would be a dull book, but I think actually it's got so many layers to it, and it's also a grown-up romance story.
Yeah,
where it feels more mature than her other ones. And I think perhaps it's so high for us because, and it might not have been if we'd been into Austen when we were teenagers.
Yeah. Persuasion has layers, ogres have layers. Persuasion has layers, onions have layers.
There's layers to the...
Layers upon layers.
Yeah, it just feels like a grown-up romance, but still with that passion into it. And then Pride and Prejudice is the OG. I'm sticking to that. Number one. I love it. I love the story. I love Lizzie Bennet.
Such a basic bitch.
And yeah, I'm going to own it. I wanted to push it down so I wasn't basic, and then I was like, well, that's worse.
And I'm just surprised at you as an Aquarius right now.
I almost tried to push Persuasion above it, and then I was like, let's be real.
Yeah, well, at least you're self-aware enough to do that.
Let's be real. I mean, if I could put Persuasion and Emma at the same level, I think I would. But I think I prefer Anne Elliot over Emma, and obviously Captain Wentworth is like the romantic, strong and silent type.
Yeah.
So that's my order.
I'm very upset about Northanger Abbey being so low.
I know, but it's hard. It is hard to put them in an order. I bet it...
Boo-hoo, you little bitch.
What's yours then?
Okay, so bottom... Mansfield Park.
Boo.
Boo. This is going to be a thing that we do now.
Yeah,
since Pride and Prejudice 1940. And then Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pride and Prejudice.
What? I'm sorry, are you okay? Remember?
Yes, I'm okay.
You also have an Aquarius side.
No, but maybe it's just because I'm sick to death of it, because I've seen so many bloody memes and versions of it, and I'm just like, oh, it's so basic. Like, not in the, like, oh, it's so, like, overdone, which it is, but also, like, it doesn't have those layers.
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 I think it's... Oh, I can't agree with you. There's a humour to Pride and Prejudice as well, which I think only Emma can really compete with.
Well, when Emma's... You know that Emma's going near the top. So we just hold out. So then I think Persuasion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then Northanger Abbey, and then Emma.
Northanger Abbey second.
I just loved it. I just loved it a lot. And I don't know if maybe it's because it was like one of the first ones that I, but like I was, like, you know, you were saying, oh, you go back to it and you want to watch more adaptations of it. I'm really jonesing for some more Northanger Abbey adaptations, because I just need to see, like, I'm just really sad that it's really slept on, and I'm like,
yeah. And then you got Ruby in Paradise
and then I got, yeah, and it's just like a spitting in my face.
I think as well, though, like, I wouldn't say Mansfield Park is slept on, but I would say Northanger Abbey is.
It is, like, why would you make multiple adaptations of Mansfield Park when it's so shit?
Northanger Abbey and Persuasion should have more adaptations than Sense and Sensibility and Mansfield Park.
Agreed.
For sure. Because you could do so many modern adaptations with Persuasion.
I think Northanger Abbey is really funny. And I think, like, you know, you said Pride and Prejudice is funny. I think Northanger Abbey is, like, equally funny.
Yeah, and I did like it.
And it's got a lot of, like, just, it's very, it's quite light-hearted, but not in a way that's, like, dull. Yeah. It's the sort of thing you read it and you, like, you kind of a bit uplifted, because it's a very, like, and that's the best of the best of Jane Austen. I mean, I think Persuasion's a bit darker. And similarly, I guess, like, Mansfield Park is a bit darker. I think Northanger Abbey is, like, gives you a bit of a pep in your step.
A pep in your step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean, because it's totally different to any of the other books.
Like, I love the gothic, the, like, the satire of the gothic genre. I think it's really, like, current for Jane Austen at the time. Like, not,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but... no, yeah, I do.
Like, she doesn't do that with any other of her novels. Really.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I do like about it. And I have to admit, I haven't read all of Northanger Abbey, so it might change.
It was the first one that the first audiobook I listened to.
And I think that's kind of a credit to that adaptation as well.
Yeah, because I did watch some movie music videos.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Love it. Yeah, J.J. Field is a really good Henry Tilney. And I would say, Felicity Jones, is that her name?
Yeah, it's because I watched the movie and I was like, I kind of feel like I didn't fully appreciate that, and I kind of want to watch it again, but I couldn't be asked to watch it all, so I just looked up some movie videos.
I quite liked J.J. Field as Darcy in Austenland as well, though.
That was also good.
Do you know what? When I was editing the last episode that we put out, the 1940 Pride and Prejudice, it was so much more relaxing than, even though we thought, when we watched that, we thought they'd thrown the plot out the window. After Lost in Austen, I didn't realise how much Lost in Austen made me angry. Because I was like, oh, thank God, with this one, I know where we are in the story. Long's left. Like, yeah, they did some wild shit in it, but the bones of it were still...
Lost in Austen was truly, like...
Yeah, and then I was like, that adaptation genuinely made me a bit angry. I didn't realise how much at the time, until I was editing the...
It was because it was so overwhelming that you were just trying to survive. You were just trying to get through the episode.
Literally.
It's like when you're in, like, a horrible relationship and you're like, this is normal. And then you get out and you're like, oh, God, that was not normal.
Yeah, literally. I was just like, I literally keep physically relaxing while I'm editing this, because I'm remembering that it's not got some fucked up plot. And it did have a fucked up plot, but compared to Lost in Austen, I was like, this is a dream. We didn't know how good we had it.
We didn't. At least we'd never have to go back.
Have you got any more to say on your order? Was there any?
So, I mean, we all know why I love Emma. Yeah. I think it's, well, because it's a story about me, and obviously I like me, like to hear about myself. But also I think it's the same as, like, Mary Crawford, where it's, I like the fact that the the female protagonist is not entirely likable, that she has flaws. And I think not, like, some of Jane Austen's heroines are, like, not like that, in that they essentially are kind of beyond reproach. Like they might have, like, slight flaws where you're like, oh, you're a bit silly, or you're a bit, like, shy, but you're not, like, you're not hurting anyone else. But then with people like Mary Crawford and Emma, there is, like, these people do cause harm, and, like, it's not totally this is a goodie and this is a baddie, you know.
Yeah.
And there's more kind of grey areas, and I like that. I like Persuasion, but I mean, I explained why I like Northanger Abbey. I also just love Henry Tilney. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's most of it. Apart from, yeah, Pride and Prejudice, I don't know. I think maybe I've just been
how low it was. I was shocked at how low it was.
It's not even that I think it's bad. I just like the others more. I mean, honestly, like, even Mansfield Park, like, it's okay.
I'm kind of regretting putting Mansfield Park at the bottom, because I just remembered how much I love, like, I really do love Mary and Henry, and I don't really love any of Sense and Sensibility characters.
No, I mean, I kind of like the sisterly relationship that develops. But also, I feel like Eleanor doesn't really, like, learn to stand up for herself. Marianne just sort of ends up compromising. Like, I mean, she does kind of learn to be more considerate of other people, but, like, there isn't, I don't know, I don't feel like anyone's particularly developed their characters in different ways. It's just that circumstances ended up happening where they could end up being happy.
Yeah. And
nobody actually had to do anything, really. They just sort of waited around until it happened.
Yeah, so both of those films have that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to save this for later, because I've got a bit.
You got opinions.
Put a pin in it.
We've created a game, almost. It's more.
And be welcome to play along. Write down your answers.
Yes,
write. Let us know.
And bring them up with us. Fight us on them.
Yes.
I want you to fight me on this. Not in real life. Just
fisticuffs.
Just in Instagram. Don't, you know, track me down. But basically, I was trying to think of a nice way to say this to explain the concept. What would you...
Shag, marry, avoid.
Shag, marry, avoid is the cleaner version.
Yeah.
But we've changed it to illicit affair, elopement, or cast out of society. I love this so much.
Yeah.
But I've written some options down here. Obviously, you're welcome to come up with some, but I was trying to put them in trios where it would be difficult. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think some of these were difficult. I think even...
Your answers, haven't you already?
Yes, yes. Do you want me to go first?
Oh, yeah, we'll go... We'll do...
Or should we do one each, like...
Yeah, we'll go one at a time, but you go... So the first one is Willoughby, Wickham, or Henry Crawford.
Right, okay. So Willoughby, illicit affair.
Ooh.
Because I think he's like... He is capable of, like, genuine passion or, like, genuine affection. Whereas I feel like Wickham is very, like... I don't know... Anyway, I'm going to get... So, Willoughby, illicit affair. Wickham, I'm going to cast out of society. Henry Crawford, I'm going to elope with.
I totally agree with Henry Crawford.
Obviously, because he's the best.
I tried to, like, pick the villains, but I was like, everyone loves Henry Crawford because he's...
You could have put William Elliot in, but...
William Elliot?
Mr. Elliot from Persuasion.
No. Is he a villain?
Yeah, he's definitely a villain, mate.
Oh, maybe I'm not listening properly. I didn't even think of him.
I mean, you saw Persuasion.
Who was he again?
The guy at the end who's in
Oh, the cousin. Yes.
Yeah.
The cousin. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose, but kind of bad boy Henry.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you put Henry in, because that means I get to elope with him. But A, Henry is an independently wealthy because he's of age. So he's got 4,000 a year. No one's taking that away from him.
It's like a card game.
Yeah. Willoughby, like I say, he's the sort of like, he's going to have like a one night stand with you and then ditch you. But I feel like it would be quite hot. And then Wickham, he just generally creeps me out.
See, I would swap Willoughby and Wickham. So I'd cast out Willoughby and elicit a affair with Wickham. Because yes, I understand that. So everyone says Henry Crawford's a bad boy, but Wickham is the real bad boy.
I feel like objectively, Willoughby is the worst of all of these three. But if I'm having an illicit affair with one of them, it doesn't mean that I have to actually like them.
Yeah, but what, basically, I'm not sure I want this on air. I just feel like Wickham would be more fun to have an illicit affair with.
Well, yeah, maybe.
That's my reasoning. I'm like, if you're gonna have an illicit affair, like, essentially what we're saying by this is like a one-night stand. You want it, like, I just feel like Wickham would be more fun. Willoughby might bring out a tiny book of poems.
There is that, and that would immediately just, like...
Yeah, so what? So I'm saying, you want to elope with Henry Crawford, because, yeah, he's got this bad boy attitude, and, yeah, it might be... You just, in modern day, he's just got a leather jacket and a motorbike. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Wickham would be really fun to have an illicit affair with if you went in knowing the deal.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I think maybe you've convinced me just because of the book of poems. Like, I genuinely, like, just even thinking about that made me dry out.
Oh, God. That's the thing. Willoughby
is a Freudian slip.
He's a sad sack to me. Like, he's one of those people that romances and then doesn't, you know, follow through.
Yeah, I mean, like, initially I was kind of like, he's very intense, and so that might be nice, but then also the poetry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, what if he tried to romance me? That's not what I want in an illicit affair. So, I'm glad. So this one, I tried to put the leading men, but I tried to pair the leading men up appropriately, so it was, difficult. So we've got Captain Wentworth, Bingley, and Edward Ferrars.
Are you going to go first, or should I?
Oh, I'm going to go first, because I don't want to be influenced, because I haven't actually decided yet.
Like, yeah, yeah, so you go first.
I'm going to cast out Edward Ferrars immediately. I'm sorry, you're boring. You don't actually... Both him and Eleanor Dashwood don't do anything to change their lives, really. They just... happenstance, it kind of sorts itself out.
However, I mean, no, I don't want to influence you. Say first.
I think I would marry Bingley. No! Marry Captain Wentworth. Because he'd be more fun to be... eloped with. Yes, I'm going to marry Captain Wentworth because, you know, that kind of passion to be married with, you just know it's going to be great, eloped with. And then, although I feel like Bingley would be rather shit in an illicit affair, I don't think he deserves to be cast out. So
this is my problem. This is like the issue for me. I mean, so because, you know, you're saying Edward Ferrars doesn't do anything to change his life.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, neither does Bingley, actually, because Mr. Darcy sorts it out.
True. You are correct.
Bingley, if left to his own devices, totally would have just died alone.
Wait. So, how do they end up getting back together again?
Because Darcy goes and he, like, tells Bingley... I was actually wrong, and I think Jane does actually like you, so if you want to go propose to her, like, I support you.
Yeah, I agree, that's the thing, Bingley...
Without Darcy's permission, he totally would have just, like, let it happen. It would have just run its course.
Yeah, I agree.
She would have married Mr. Collins.
I feel like he's just very easily influenced.
Yeah.
And I feel like Edward Ferrars is as well, but Bingley...
It's... Everyone lets Bingley get away with it because he's just a little puppy dog. But, yeah. Like...
But also, I think they let him get away with it because Darcy is such a formidable, like, strong personality.
So... Yeah, but then, like, to be fair, Edward Ferrars has already engaged to someone.
Yeah. I'm sticking with it. I can't...
I know, like, this is the thing, because on paper, like, everyone likes Bingley more because he's just more likeable than Edward Ferrars. But really, if we're talking about the actual actions of them in the books, I think they're both equally wet blankets.
I agree. I can't believe I'm now shitting on Bingley. But he seems so harmless.
I know, but that's the thing. But then, and then the thing is, because I think it's easy to dislike Edward Ferrars because you barely see him throughout the book, so you don't get to like him really. Whereas Bingley, he's there and he's being all nice and stuff.
No, but I also feel like Bingley's naive. Like, that's the issue. So he's convinced that the person he loves doesn't love him back. He's convinced of those things.
But Edward Ferrars also doesn't know whether Eleanor likes him.
Yeah, but he's not naive in what's going on. He does know because he ends up coming to her.
Well, because he's in love with her, so when he has the opportunity to do so, he's like, I'm going to propose to you. He doesn't know whether she's going to accept or not.
Yeah. But I just don't like Edward Ferrars. What's your order?
So, as you might be able to tell, I'm going to elope with Captain Wentworth, obviously. Yeah. Take me up in your big, salty arms.
Salty?
Yeah, because he's a sailor.
Oh. just sounded weird.
And then Edward Ferrars, I'm gonna have an affair with, I'm afraid. Which means that Bingley's getting cast out.
Poor Bingers.
I know, but then, like, okay, so I make one exception to this, which is if it is Bingley from Lost in Austin, I would have an affair with him. But any other Bingley, just he's a totally asexual character to me, and I just can't get my head around it.
Yeah.
I just think he would be very boring.
I think you'll find... I've just realised who you're probably going to cast out for the next one, and I'm already mad.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one I did was Mr. Morphy, Henry Tilney, and Mr. Knightley.
I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
I just, like, it just clicked into place. But to be fair, I'm going to cast out Henry Tilney, so what you going to do? I'd probably... Ooh, but who would I actually marry? Would have an illicit affair with Mr. Darcy and then elope with Mr. Knightley. Yeah, that's what I'm sticking to. I don't think Darcy would have an illicit affair, but neither would Knightley. So, one of them's got to do it.
Them's the holding the gun to their head.
Them's the rules.
Sorry. Gotta do it. I don't meet the rules. Well, as you can, Bethany has already guessed, I am going to elope with Henry Tilney, have an affair with Mr. Knightley, and cast out Mr. Darcy. Sorry about it.
So you're marrying Henry. I wasn't sure who you'd marry.
Yeah, because I actually think, and I was thinking about this, I feel like I'd find Mr. Knightley a bit annoying after a while. Because he's just such a, like, he's so, like, smug.
Yeah.
He's always right, and that would annoy me because I have to always be right.
I always imagine him as Johnny Lee Miller, which really helps.
Yeah, but then also J.J. Field as Henry Tilney.
Yeah, it just...
And he just seems like he'd be more fun and chill to live with.
Is, you know that clip in Northanger Abbey where she's fantasizing in the woods.
The hat.
And he's like being kind of like
creepy.
Yeah.
But that's in her imagination. That's not him.
He's not being creepy.
You can't hold him accountable for Catherine's weird dreams.
It's more like I just see that image of his face in the vicar's hat and he's like, yee.
I know. Well, it's very confusing and disturbing for me, obviously, additionally.
Yeah. So that's, when I think of JJ Field as Darcy in Austinland, I'm like, yeah. But when he's a vicar in the hat in the woods.
This is the issue, because there's always going to be vicars. I mean, like, Edward Ferrars is also a vicar.
Yeah, see, it's not even vicars, though. It's not even the character. It's that one scene in that.
It's the weird, but that's not his fault. That isn't even in the book.
It killed it stone dead for me, and I can't go back. We should move on.
Agree to disagree.
Mr. Collins, Edmund Bertram, lol. I loved because Ed, and then I put Mr. Elton, and
because he's in with them too.
Yeah, he's to be a leading man, and I put him with Mr. Collins and Mr. Elton.
Because he is trash.
I still think it's quite a difficult decision.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, okay. So, am I going first?
Yeah, let me have a think over it. You go first.
So I definitely cast out Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I'm
gonna... Because I just cannot. I just cannot be anywhere near him physically. Like, I would shrivel up and die.
Give Charlotte some credit.
Yeah, you have to give Charlotte some credit. Yeah, well, maybe he's still doing that abstinence for purification purposes.
I think it's in the 2005 one where she basically explains her day to Lizzie, and she's like, sometimes we barely see each other at all. Yeah. And she's just like, and they look at each other knowingly, and I'm like, oh my god, what a life.
Yeah. But I guess if she is never going to get married to anyone else, then it's like, either you are a spinster, and you live alone, or you basically live with a creepy man, but you rarely see him.
Yeah.
And you get the knight's house.
Yeah, you get, like, the financial security.
Yeah. I mean, I still probably wouldn't marry him, but you can kind of see.
No. So, yeah, I agree with him being...
So, that's like Mr. Collins. I think I just would elope with Edmund and then Elizabeth for Mr. Elton.
I agree, because I was weighing up Bertram and Elton, and then I just thought, imagine being married to Elton.
I know. Like, you've seen what that did. Like, you've seen what happens. I mean, his weird, creepy relationship with his wife.
Yeah.
Also with eloping, like, I presume you're going to have to do it more than once.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. It's almost like a bigger commitment.
You're going to have a lifelong affair rather than a brief one night stand.
Yeah,
I could just get really pissed and just like not think about it.
Also, I feel like Mr. Elton would maybe not even be that bad in small doses. Like,
yeah, apparently he's supposed to be quite hot.
Yeah, and like in the beginning of Emma, like he seems as like an achievable, like
match, he's not too,
you know,
bad.
What I mean,
it's in small, yeah. If you don't actually talk to him very much.
I think this is the first time we've completely agreed on names. I added some more in just now, so you're going to have to do these on the fly.
Right.
Because I felt like we weren't giving the female characters enough airtime in this.
Yeah.
Felt a bit boring.
Bit heteronormative.
Yeah, I couldn't say the word. I was like, I will mispronounce.
the synonym for heteronormative is boring.
Boring. Yes. So I picked Emma, Lizzie and Catherine Morland. And because I feel like they are actually the most matched female leading ladies, like in terms of energy. I'm gonna have to cast out Emma, I'm sorry. I know that that was hard for me as well. Illicit affair with Catherine Morland and illicit affair with Lizzie and marry Catherine Morland, actually. I feel like Lizzie would get annoying after a while.
Yeah, she would.
Emma would get annoying straight away.
You're best friends with me. I don't understand. You keep saying this, but you literally have dealt with me for like 8 years. No, like 12 years.
So, yeah. I feel like Lizzie would get annoying after a while, so it would just have to be an illicit affair. And then,
yeah.
Mary Catherine, she seems like a nice girl.
I don't know if I could deal with Catherine for life.
That's interesting.
I just find, like, I just think I need someone that's a bit more down to earth. She's very, like, naive. Like, I think she's very nice, but I'm just not sure I could, like, have her as a life partner.
So what would order be?
So, I think I would marry Emma and have an illicit affair with Lizzie.
Oh, really? And you're casting out Catherine?
Yeah, because just, if we're talking about, what's the word? Compatibility.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't think I'm very compatible with Catherine.
Okay, and then the next one, I've basically done almost the villains, but the prominent female villains, so to speak. Mary Crawford, Caroline Bingley, Isabella Thorpe. I think I know this one straight off the bat, actually. I'm casting out Caroline Bingley.
Caroline Bingley.
I want to be sympathetic to her, but it's not easy. So, I think I would elope with Mary and then have an illicit affair with Isabella. Yeah, I feel like Mary, if I'm going to have to spend a long period of time with any of them, Mary's going to be the most fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to elope with Mary. I'm kind of in two minds about Isabella and Caroline, to be honest. It depends on the representation of Caroline. I mean, like, thinking about the book, I mean, she's just a bit snobby, isn't she? But for one night only. One night only.
That's the thing. It's not even about their morals for the illicit affair. It's
like... Yeah, and I just feel like she might be quite good in the sack. But, like, Isabella Thorpe, I feel like, would be very annoying. I mean, I would just see which one liked me more.
And well, the other that one destroys my entire
game. Yeah, but I mean, takes two to tango.
What the fuck? You know what? Screw up on my answers. Who likes me the best?
I mean.
So the next question I've written down is the most this is kind of one question in what, two questions in one. So it's like the most misrepresented character, but it could also be the most hard done by, like the one that gets the most flack in adaptations. And it's kind of being perpetuated as bad when they're not that bad. And I kind of feel like what road we're going to go down already, because we've talked about it a lot. But for me, I think that's Henry and Mary Crawford.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a question for Clara. But I just find them so interesting. And even though they're trying to be portrayed as bad characters in the adaptations we've watched, like, it's clear we're not supposed to like them. I do. And I feel like they get a bad rap. The other person I feel like gets a bad rap So Mary Crawford particularly, as she's seen as this like vixen who's taken Edmund Bertram away from Fanny Price when she hasn't done anything. Like Edmund's done that.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like that's just like misogyny.
Yeah.
And then, so sometimes I do feel like, for a while, I tried to make Caroline Bingley almost like a Sharpay character from High School Musical. You know, where, like, she knows what she wants and how to get it, and then, like, someone else comes along and just, like, ruins it.
Yeah.
But then I was kind of like, no, she isn't actually that redeemable.
Yeah.
She is what she is, like.
Yeah. I think one person who gets a lot of flack is, I mean, I want to say like Mrs. Bennet and Charlotte Lucas. Like, I know they're ridiculous characters, but if we're talking like misogyny and the situations that they're put in, like if you were Charlotte Lucas in that situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have nothing but sympathy for Charlotte. And I also think most of Mrs. Bennet's feelings are justified. She's worried about her daughters.
Yeah, and like she's maybe a little bit like bombastic, but
bombastic.
Like she's just she's very intense.
I was gonna say she is a bit intense.
She's a bit, but like I mean, is that a crime? She's a bit annoying. It doesn't mean that she's, like, a bad person. She just really cares about her daughters.
Yeah, and I think she's justifiably worried. And, she's got five daughters. They're not rich. They've got no income for them. So it makes perfect sense for her to want to be what's overbearing with getting them husbands, because she knows what it means if they don't.
Yeah, and also she's in kind of a marriage in which her husband does not really care about her feelings very much.
Yeah, well, also in the book it's kind of spoken about what a beauty she was, isn't it?
Yeah, and then how, like, basically he married her and then he was like, now I regret this because you're no longer beautiful and you are annoying.
Yeah, see, in my head they love each other, but I
know, like, in my head canon I would love that, but actually according to Jane, not true.
And also that's the thing, it's almost like he married her because she was hot and then realized she had a personality that at the core of it just wants to look after her children.
Yeah, although to be fair I think she doesn't like Lizzie very much.
Yeah, but also Lizzie, that's because Lizzie is constantly making fun of her.
True. I'm not sure that's why, though.
Yeah, but that's also a part of it. She's basically like a female version of her dad.
Yeah. The other person that I think gets a bit of a bad rap is Isabella Thorpe. Because she is in a situation where she's not very rich, and she needs to make a good match.
Mm-hmm.
She sort of gets connected with Catherine's brother, who's also not very rich, but she sort of pretends to be more into him than perhaps she is, which I think is kind of, like, not a crime. Like, I think maybe it's not very authentic of her, but like in the situation she's basically like trying to seem like a good match, and then she gets seduced by this guy who's clearly a manipulative prick who's also super rich, and she thinks, oh well, maybe this is actually going to be a wee better match for me, financially speaking, and also she's like a teenager.
Yeah, I totally agree that Isabella was a victim of her time, almost. Because, like that's the thing. I feel like we look more kindly upon Charlotte for marrying Mr. Collins because she thinks it will be a suitable match. And that's what Isabella's doing with Catherine Morland's brother, almost.
Yeah.
and obviously it's a better match than Collins, but, and we look kindly on Georgiana for kind of
being, yeah, manipulated by Wickham, but then,
yeah, like, and then like
Isabella, it's like, oh, she had choices, she cheated on him.
Yeah, it's almost as if she had the power, which I don't think she did.
No,
she didn't have the power to
kind this of guy is clearly like a serial creep who like basically was a predator and like got that's her into bed.
Yeah, because when you think about the other women, like Mary Crawford does have an element of power.
Yeah.
Caroline. I'm trying to think of Elizabeth Elliot, Anna Elliot's older sister. Like they have currency which they can move within their world with.
Yeah.
Isabella doesn't.
She doesn't.
So she's got that whole Mary Crawford out for what she can get, but it just ends very badly for her.
Well, yeah, because she also doesn't have the freedom of Mary Crawford to be like, actually, I'm well connected, and I am super attractive, and I'm also really like charismatic. Like, she doesn't have that stuff, that innate confidence that, because you can kind of tell that Isabella is quite insecure, because she's always going on, like she's always really hamming it up to try and sort of compensate for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's interesting the way that like there's like a selective feminism, because there's these strong female characters who are like ready to stand up for themselves and like we like them. But then it's the women that are like not, then they don't have that strength of like character, or they don't have that confidence to be like,
yeah,
to kind of put it all on the line, to be like, oh well, these are my convictions, and like, yeah, but okay.
It's almost like nobody told Isabella where the line was and then cast her out when she crossed it.
Yeah.
So on that note, actually, I've written these people down, but that's just kind of to remind us who we can choose from. But I've kind of written, who is your favourite villain? And obviously this doesn't necessarily have to be a villain that you've ended up really liking. It could be someone that you just think plays the baddie really well. Like, they're good at being a villain.
Yeah. I think that Mr. Elliot is a really good villain.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I haven't got that far yet. So I'm trying to remember from that, like, one adaptation that we watched. And I don't think we saw a lot of him in it.
But yeah, and then he also, like, he clearly has this agenda the whole time. And I think the thing is, he's got like, a weird vibe. But you can also tell that he's quite hot just from his vibe. So, like,
yeah.
he's kind of, like, one of those, like, with Wickham and Willoughby, I feel like immediately when I see them, I'm like, I just know that you're wrong and immediately, and I'm not really confused about it. I just am not, I'm not super into you. With Mr. Elliot, I feel like there is something quite compelling about him.
Yeah.
Because he's really intelligent and, like, in a way where you feel like there's more layers to his character, where, like, oh, perhaps he does have real feelings for Anne.
Yeah.
In the same kind of way as I feel about, like, Henry Crawford.
Yeah.
It's the same vibes, where you're kind of like, oh, yeah, there's something else going on with it. Like, why is he doing the things he's doing? And then basically at the end he gets revealed to be this total, like, double crosser who's also having an affair with Mrs. Clay at the same time, and like he's been doing all of these things behind everyone's back, but like he has been so clever in kind of like concealing all of this these machinations behind the scenes while also being really like endearing himself to everyone around him.
Yeah, I do agree. So I'm in two minds. I think Frank Churchill, doesn't get villain status when he should.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the more irritating villain because he's leading Emma on almost, and then it turns out that he was kind of, it just feels like he was making fun of all of them the whole time.
Yeah, I just think he's a bit of a fuckboy. I don't really think he's a proper villain.
Then also, then there's like Wickham, who does something genuinely horrific.
Yeah, because I feel like Frank Churchill, he's not like, he's not past the line of this is despicable. Whereas, I don't know, Wickham,
General Tilney.
Yeah, like these are despicable men.
Actually, yeah, I would say General Tilney is probably the worst.
He's the worst because he's just a straight up boogeyman, like mean, mean guy. Yeah, like there's just nothing, there's no like, oh, but what about his personality? He's got no personality, he's just a horrible guy.
Yeah, so I think General Tilney is the best villain because it's almost like he's sociopathic.
Yeah, well, like, because is it, are we talking about the most villainous villain or the best villain?
It depends. It depends how you want it. Like, it can be a villain that is the most villainous, or it could be someone...
Well, if we're going for most villainous, then obviously General Tilney.
But it also could be just someone that kind of bears an allure. Like, I think you are kind of...
Yeah, which is what I would say, William.
Yeah, where I'm just kind of like... And that's... But one of the reasons is because Frank Churchill, I think, is a good villain as well because it's such a normal villain in a story. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's come across that type of villain in their own life story.
Yeah, I guess the thing about, like, with... what I consider Jane Austen villains is like Frank Churchill remains, if we're talking about casting someone out of society, right, that's what makes the villain, is when they've done something so despicable that they are cast out of society, they end up, they're not in the story at the end because everyone's just like, fuck that guy. Whereas Frank Churchill, he gets married to Jane Fairfax, he remains the son of what's his face,
yeah,
Mr. God, I can't believe I've forgotten his name. Mr. Weston.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, he did a dick move, but...
Yeah.
He's not cast out of society.
I think that's partly why he's good, though, because, like, rarely are people wholly bad.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, sometimes we villainise people. So, who's your favourite leading lady or man? It can be either, so like the leading character of the novel, and obviously there's some of them have multiple, but just your it's gonna be Emma, isn't it?
No, I said I actually thought Henry Tilney.
Really?
Yeah, he knows Muslin, he's sarcastic, he's friendly, he doesn't play fucking games, he's not like, he doesn't play with people's emotions, he's very straightforward. Love Henry Tilney.
Yeah, okay. It's not going to be Lizzie or Darcy. It's better not be Anne Elliot either.
No.
I'm trying to think on the spot. I'm going to go with Captain Wentworth. I just think he's so intriguing. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like there's so much more to him. Like, if you were going to have the Captain Wentworth Diaries.
Do you want him to hold you in his salty arms?
Salty arms? You sound like his arms are pissed off at you.
Well, he is salty. I mean, that's the whole thing about Captain Wentworth.
Yeah, he is so. That's what I love about it as well, because he's rude to Anne in the beginning.
I mean, he's not directly rude. He's rude about Anne.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's hurtful towards Anne at the beginning as a way of trying to push his feelings aside. But I just, you can tell there's a lot of emotions going on inside his head, but also he's not... he's not a Colonel Brandon. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to be pacing outside the floor, biting his nails, like worried. He's a doer, not a warrior.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, like, yes, he's the strong, silent type, but also with depth.
But then, also, when it push comes to shove with Louisa, in the book, he actually totally freezes, and he's like, what the heck should I do? And then Anne totally steps in, and it's like, leave it to me.
You mean when she hits her head?
Yeah, when Louisa, like, he basically kind of freaks out and runs away.
I mean, yeah, I've literally just got to that bit as well. I've just finished that bit, that whole debacle.
Yeah, so I think, like, he needs Anne to like, step in.
So your favourite film so far? I think I'm going to surprise you with mine. I think it might be Emma 2020.
Yes!
And I was like, obviously, I say film, we've watched many series. But, and I do love the other Emma, but then I was like, yeah, Emma 2020 is a sexier Emma, if that makes sense. Like, it's not sexy, but you know what I mean.
I mean, it does have butts.
Yeah, but I'd argue that the butt, both butt scenes, like, are more odd than anything
else. Yeah, they are.
But I feel like the heat is a bit more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit more, like, sexual tension.
Yeah, they've kind of, the aesthetics, and they've kept the comedy, because sometimes with films that have really lovely videography or whatever,
yeah,
cinematography is the word,
yeah,
you lose the substance, but you don't.
Yeah,
and it just ticks all the boxes. It's got the chemistry between multiple different characters. It's got the comedy. It's got really good costumes, really good actors.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, yeah, overall, it ticks a lot of boxes where sometimes things fall short. So is that your favourite film as well?
I think it might be, you know. Like, honourable mention to Northanger Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did love that a lot.
That shit is wild as well.
It was unusually horny. And, like, I just thought it was great and funny. And I loved all the weird, like, dream sequences. Just thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Emma 2020 is like the peak of. I want Autumn de Wilde to just do every single Jane Austen book, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Please and thank you, Autumn de Wilde hashtag. No, at Autumn de Wilde.
So this is one of yours actually. What spin-off fan fiction would you like to see?
Mm-hmm. So I would love to see a spin-off fan fiction where Fanny Price actually does get with Henry Crawford.
Ooh, yes.
And then he influences her, and she, like, lets loose a little bit, and she, like, owns her own sexuality and just is, like, you know. I feel like Fanny Price would become her own. What is it, that line that I made into the meme? And I think I need to reshare that meme because it's just so funny. When he's like, my Fanny will be the object of something for everyone who sees her. I can't remember the line. But anyway, he's basically like, I'm going to make everyone obsessed with Fanny.
Just in general.
Here it is, I've got it. My Fanny will feel a difference in the behaviour of every being who approaches her.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I'm kind of thinking, whose point of view would I be most excited to see things from?
Hmm.
And obviously the Crawfords would be fun, like, but more life after the events of Mansfield Park.
Yeah.
Like, what do they get up to afterwards? Like, what's that adaptation where they're just, like, in some weird, not weird, but they're in some, like, polyamorous
group. Oh, yeah.
something like that, where you just get like a series on their like wildlife stuff.
Yeah.
Or
like I would like to actually see their childhood, because I'm listening to it now, and apparently like the way that they are they talk about Mary Crawford's childhood in the book actually quite a lot. Like, well, they speculate about it, Edmund does anyway, because he's basically like, they say like they were raised by their aunt and uncle. Their uncle is like an admiral, and then he didn't get on with the aunt very well, and so the aunt loved Mary and the uncle loved Henry, but they didn't like the other one, basically. And so there's just this weird dynamic that was created for them. And basically Edmund's like, the reason that Mary is like the way she is, like, and she says all these like inappropriate things, is because of the way she was raised. And if she hadn't been raised like that, she would have been perfect, basically. And I'd like to see their childhoods.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also a weird, slightly sadistic part of me that really wants to know what's going on with Charlotte and Collins.
No, don't want to know.
Like, part of me is like, how weird is it?
No, can't do it. Don't want to know.
Yeah.
Some things.
Or, know who would be a really fun young story? Lady Caroline.
You mean Lady Catherine de Bourgh?
Yes, that's who I mean. Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Lady C.
I do. I would like to see a Lady Catherine de
Bourgh. Like a hot young Lady C.
Yes. She would remind me of Lady Danbury, I feel like.
Yes. Yes. Like, I just feel like, yeah, she's this old domineering woman now. But
she's clearly, like, she's had some kind of backstory where she's totally, like, stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah, she's also clearly got a lot of life experience.
Yeah, she's seen things.
And also, do you know who she reminds me of? Slightly, the aunt in Little Women. Have you seen Little Women, the new one?
No, I've actually never read or seen any version of Little Women.
Oh, well, the aunt in her is almost similar, like she's trying to, but more empathetic, and she's trying to kind of help the girls get married. And there's this one bit where Jo is like, well, you're not married, and she's like, that's because I'm rich.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've seen that on the trailer.
Yeah, so almost a bit like Emma. Almost a bit like Emma, where she's like, well, I don't have to be married because I'm rich.
Yeah, maybe Emma would be like that when she's old.
So
if Emma never married Mr. Knightley, that's what she would be like when she was old.
Yeah, so that's like, so yeah, I think like a young hot Lady C and all her shenanigans.
Yeah, that would be good.
Really fun look at. Which unlikely character pairing do you ship? If we were going to cross books. I feel like Bingley and Fanny Price would work well together.
No.
Yeah.
Fanny Price is too, she's too reserved for Bingley. Because the thing is, I don't know, like, she's not happy. Like, Bingley's really, like, cheerful and stuff. Fanny Price is just like, meh.
Do you know who I think would be bros? Darcy and Wentworth. They'd be bros.
Like, yeah, they would, yeah.
Good powers.
Who would I like to see?
Oh, wait! Do you know what would be a great pairing? Mary Crawford and Fanny Price.
Yes, I've been shipping that since day one.
Yeah.
And also, in this, in the book, right, Edmund's like, what do you think of Mary Crawford? And she's like, she is so, like, good-looking that I just really enjoy looking at her. And I'm like, Fanny, Like, yeah. I feel like Mary Crawford, like, you know, I said, like, Henry Crawford and Fanny, but, like, Mary Crawford and Fanny.
Also, I think Mary and Mr. Collins would have been a better match.
Yeah. That's true, but I don't want to know about that.
I don't want to know about that, but I just think, but then I would want someone for Charlotte.
Yeah, or like maybe just that Charlotte somehow got some kind of wind form, which never touched in Mary.
Yeah. But I think Mary Crawford and Fanny Price would have been a much... Well, I'd even prefer Fanny Price and Henry Crawford, but Mary Crawford would actually make a lot more sense.
It would.
So that's the unlikely character pairing. And I'd
also... Also, what about Emma and Jane Fairfax?
Really?
I mean, like, I'm not saying that they... The actual character... I feel like they've never been given the opportunity to have chemistry, but what if they did?
Yeah. It's almost like the love...
That would be kind of a good fanfic.
The love-hate thing where Emma's really jealous of Jane.
Yeah, like, just imagine that. It would be like a Mr. Darcy Lizzie situation.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You've reeled me in on that.
Yes. Can I just say, we've tried to make it gay, but like mostly with women. Gay pairings in male gay pairings in Austin, please.
I was trying to think of that, but
there's most men have so little.
Yeah, well, like that's the thing. The very essence of Austin is the men have less substance than the women.
Darcy and Bingley, though.
Okay, yes, I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. I could see Edward Ferrars and Bingley.
Yeah. No, because they're too alike. There needs to be some kind of, like, tension. I can see Edward Ferrars, though, and Colonel Brandon. We're just trying to make it happen. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Apart from Darcy and Bingley, can see that.
I wouldn't say, yeah, there's not any natural pairings that spring to mind.
No.
Other than Darcy and Bingley, because that's almost...
That's almost certainly got a fan fiction already.
Also, it's one of the few male friendships you get to see in depth.
Yeah.
Where, like, the other men...
I mean, you don't really get to see in depth. That's another, like, spin-off that I would like to see would be, like, the bromance, the blossoming bromance of Darcy.
Yeah! Or, like, yeah, how do they know each other? How long...
How do they make friends?
Yeah, also, because, yeah, their relationship, they're very opposite as well.
So yeah.
There's got to be some give and take on that.
Yeah.
And then we've had one loyal fan who's come in, Ellie, has... submitted the question of Lizzie wasn't prejudiced against Mr. Darcy, he was a jerk and she acted accordingly. Opinions. I completely agree. I don't think Mr. Darcy's very nice in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think that, like, she probably was a bit prejudiced in the sense of,
I think she was quite antagonistic.
Yeah, she sort of, like, she wasn't looking... I mean, like, for example, Jane was like, oh, I'm sure that he's just, like, you know... She's looking for some kind of excuse for him. Whereas Lizzie immediately, like, because he insulted her, I mean, he was a jerk. That is true. But that immediately did prejudice Lizzie towards him. So I guess it depends. Like, I don't think that necessarily that is... I think she admits to being prejudiced.
Yeah. Also, I think sometimes we look at Lizzie in a halo light and she is like her family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She is a bit embarrassing and a bit rude and says things out of turn.
Yeah.
And also, Darcy goes on this personal growth journey.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think she immediately, like, because he's, like, insulted her and she's kind of, that means that anything that he does from now on, she's, like, interprets it in a certain way. And then, yeah. But I do think that, like, objectively he was being a jerk. But also, like, I think if maybe if you met the Bennets and you were quite an introverted person, you'd probably be like, oh, God. I think I would if I met the Bennetts. I'd be like, Jesus Christ.
Mm. That's the thing. It's almost, with Darcy, it's almost like his lack of social skills as well.
Well, it's because Mrs. Bennet immediately is like, hey, I see you've got 10,000 a year. Do you want to marry one of my daughters? Like, and he's just like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, obviously he's going to be like, no, then she's not handsome enough to tempt me, because he's being pressured.
Well, I don't think Mrs. Bennet immediately went up there.
I mean, I think
that's Miss Bingley's having that conversation with him. He's saying, oh, because Bingley's like high on the romance of Jane. He's like, oh, Lizzie's very good looking. And he's like, not handsome enough to tempt me, because Mrs. Bennet's
been... I mean, like, but she's already done, well, there's the thing with Bingley where she's clearly like,
yeah, like, she's clearly after Bingley's money, and perhaps that's what's influenced
him. And, yeah, and also, like, it's not even just Darcy, and so Darcy's feeling, like, protective of Bingley.
Yeah, but also, he does say that Jane is the only good look, like, he says that he's got the best woman in the room.
Yeah.
So, he is being prideful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that he's totally, like, without, beyond reproach in the situation. I'm just saying that, yeah, there's like, reasons behind it as well, that I think.
Yeah, and also, like, I think I would react in a similar way to Lizzie being insulted in that way.
Yeah, I probably would as well.
So that is the end of our questions. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was good. I think we should do another one next season.
Yeah, like, really getting into it and discussing it. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of opinions over what we've talked about. Please get in touch with those. Even if you don't have Instagram, you can email it.
You can even send us, like, an angry, ranting voice note via the Anchor message system.
Yeah, you can do that. So there's Instagram, there's Anchor, there's email. You can get in touch with us in all of those ways. This is the end of the season, so we're going to be taking a 2-week break again, and then we'll be back with Pride and Prejudice 1996, is it? With Colin Firth.
Five. 95? Why do you always get 1 year off?
I don't know.
Literally every time. 1 year off.
The Colin Firth one.
Yeah, the one with Colin Firth. You all know what we mean.
We won't have an official sign-off because it's not been a weird episode. It's been an odd episode.